This July 4th at Lowe's, get up to 45% off select major appliances. Plus, save $80 on a select Charbroil Performance Series gas grill. Now $299. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/8. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
My Friend's Haunted House by Autumn. This happened about 14 years ago. I have two stories to share from this time in my life. When I was in my junior year of high school, I became friends with this group of three girls who were amazing, but shared a lot of home life difficulties, which I was also going through at the time. We were all about 16 years old. At the time, I was the only one with a license. So we would just ride around in our smallish town outside of our city. We'd go to parks, smoke weed, and just try to be away from our homes for as long as possible. One of the girls, Kate, would have us come over to her house as like a crash pad. Her parents had divorced, so it was just her mom. She worked late shifts, but even when she was home, she wasn't present with us. She basically let us do whatever we wanted. Story 1. One night, we had just smoked in a park and decided to go back to Kate's house. This would be my first time going to her house, since I was very new to this friend group. As we were driving, the other two girls, Mary and April, were describing how Kate's house is haunted. We were all super into going to haunted places well known around our city, so of course I was very intrigued by this. But also joked that they should stop hyping it up, because we were all stoned, and we just needed to make a pit stop before we left for our next adventure. Once we got there, it was a very normal, cookie-cutter house. I didn't really think about what we discussed during the ride. We went into Kate's room, and Mary jumped on her twin-sized bed to lay out, while me and Kate sat on the floor with our backs against the side of the bed, facing the door. April had used the bathroom, and Kate usually kept her door open with a shoe, something I didn't know about until after I processed all of this. As me and Kate are facing her bedroom door, Mary was on the bed behind and above us, in a semi-stoned coma. April walked into the room after using the bathroom to come sit down with us, but all of a sudden, the door slammed shut behind her, almost clipping her heel as she entered the room. We were all stunned. April was freaked out because of the sound and feeling of the door slamming shut behind her. So she was on the bed with Mary within a millisecond. That left me and Kate on the floor, processing what we had just witnessed. I asked Kate if she had any open windows or fans that would cause some sort of vacuum effect. And she said no, because she kept a shoe under her door to keep it from closing. We tried looking for the shoe, and tried to investigate if the door would slam that way. We found it in the over-the-door rack with the rest of her shoes that hung from the same door. We all saw April enter the room. She was about to sit on the floor with us, and then the door slammed shut. We all know it couldn't have been her, but we still questioned her and exhausted all logic, until ultimately we decided to leave, due to being freaked out, stoned teenagers. Story 2. A year later, and I'm still friends with these girls. We're all about to graduate and go to college. A lot of our friends were already attending a state college, so we frequently made trips to go to big basketball games. One night after a game, we were driving home from said college, which was normally only an hour drive from home. A snowstorm started, and me being the DD took about 3.5 hours to get home, all of us white-knuckling the whole way back to Kate's. It ended up being around 5 a.m. by the time we got there, and we were all exhausted from the game, party, and terrifying drive back. But we were happy to be all in one piece. Kate told me I could sleep in her guest bedroom, and I was happy to oblige because I was almost falling asleep standing up, and having my own room sounded great after a year of sleeping in her twin bed on her floor. The room I was staying in had those shelves that are close to the ceiling, where you could put trophies, stuffed animals, pictures, etc. It also had no TV or radio, and had blackout curtains that I took full advantage of. I shut off all the lights and pulled the blackout curtains shut. I was more than ready to catch up on some sleep, so the room was pitch dark. I put my phone on silent and slipped it under the pillow. I fell asleep almost instantly. But about 45 minutes later, I was woken up by cat footsteps all around my head and body. Kate's cat was a huge, cuddly baby, so I was happy to have her in the room with me. But she wouldn't leave my face alone, even after burying my face into the pillow more. I shoot her away multiple times, with her running across the comforter I was under. She got the zoomies after the final shooing away, and I could hear her on the shelves above my head, running into all of the stuff Kate's family put on there. Her cat would not stop running back and forth across the shelves. It even knocked a couple of things onto me in the bed. I was really annoyed at this point, so I pulled my face out of the pillow, unlocked my phone, and called Kate in the other room, without opening my eyes. I asked her if she could please come get her cat, because she's being wild and knocking stuff off the shelves. Kate got really quiet, and after a few seconds, I hear Mary in the background, saying she has the cat on the bed with her. I immediately processed what that meant and flew off the bed towards the light switch. Nothing and nobody was in the room with me. Kate only had one cat, and there wasn't a cat on those shelves or on the bed with me. I flung the door open and ran the short distance to Kate's room. After I told them what happened, we all pretended to sleep until dawn, with her actual cat. Thankfully, that was only about an hour, where we felt safe enough to unlock the bedroom door and sprint out of her house to safety. I lost touch with those friends about a year after that incident, but I hope they're doing well. Kate no longer lives in that house, as far as I can tell from social media. But I still get super freaked out thinking about whatever was rubbing against me in that bed.
The Weirdest Experience of My Life by Lucy. About 2 years ago, I would walk to and from high school. I only live around 4 blocks away, so it was a brisk walk. I live in a safe neighborhood in the middle of a desirable school district. I know all of my neighbors, even the ones down the block, and I recognize everyone on my walk to and from. That's why this shook me up so much. I was walking back home from school one afternoon, when a yellow car pulled up just a few feet behind me. I didn't think anything of it and kept walking, yet they honked at me. I turned around and I looked at the car and vaguely recognized the people inside. There was a driver and two kids my age in the back. The driver looked similar to my homeroom teacher, and the two kids looked similar to two twins who are in my grade. I felt as if something was telling me to keep walking and ignore them. But like a horror movie protagonist, curiosity got the best of me and I walked over to the car. When I got closer, I noticed the details about the people in the car, and they seemed off. For one, they looked eerily similar to the people that I knew from school, yet each one of them had a few details that made them unrecognizable. It felt like the uncanny valley effect. It's hard to explain. I guess you just have to know the people in person. But it was like someone had a police sketch of them made ultra-realistic, if that makes any sense. When I got to the passenger window, the woman said, "Do you know these two from school?" And I said, "Yeah, I think so." She nodded and asked if I needed a ride home. I told her that my dad would pick me up a block down from here. She asked if I needed a ride down the block. I told her no, I would be fine. And I felt the worst kind of vomit-inducing dread when she talked to me. It didn't help that the two girls were dead silent in the back. She told me to have a good day, and as I walked away, she honked at me again. I whipped my head around, completely freaked out, and she smiled and waved at me. I booked it home after that, locked my doors, and waited for my dad and sisters to get home. When they did, I told them what happened. My dad was nonchalant about it and told me not to walk up to cars next time. My sister, on the other hand, was super freaked out and even now doesn't want me to bring it up. My friends think that I met some weird doppelgangers, and I kind of agree. 2 years later, I can still remember it. It just weirds me out.
There are things in life that you don't want to be transparent, like your swimsuit or your search history. But when it comes to your wireless bill, transparency is everything. That's why Mint Mobile's wireless plans have no gimmicks and no gotchas. Just high-speed data and reliable coverage on the T-Mobile 5G network. And right now, all plans are $15 per month, even unlimited. Mint Mobile took what's wrong with wireless and made it right with premium wireless for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can even bring your current phone and your number. Choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly bill. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile. It's so easy. Sign up online and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/trails. That's mintmobile.com/trails. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/trails. That's it. There's no catch. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12 months. Plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabyte hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
Moro Casino, America. Moca Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Little Sister, Don't You Cry by Shopgirl 2026. This happened to me about 20 years ago, but it has stayed fresh in my mind ever since. I grew up the youngest of four siblings. My oldest brother was 10 years older than me, so he ended up being my designated babysitter when I was young. Because of this, as I grew up, I was more a child of the 60s rather than the 70s. I probably kept everyone around me cracking up, watching a five-year-old singing along with Chubby Checker, the Beach Boys, and our favorite, Elvis. My parents even sent me along on a few dates he had as a pesky little sister chaperone. As years passed, I grew up, got married, had kids, and grew away from my family. We all called for birthdays and holidays, but we were so spread out geographically that we only saw each other maybe every decade or less. When my oldest brother, let's call him Peter, was only about 50, he developed an aggressive cancer. Knowing he was terminal, all four of us got together for one last visit. It was amazing, and we shared many memories and made many more. I stayed in much closer contact with Peter during the months after our reunion. All I ever heard from him and his wife was that he was doing great. Treatment was going good. I offered to fly up and see him and help out if necessary, but they said it wasn't needed. However, our mom, dad, and cousins had all died from cancer, and I wasn't quite sure I believed him. He just didn't sound like himself. As I discussed this with my husband, I told him I wasn't sure Peter wasn't trying to protect me, as he had done as a big brother for years. I tried to prepare myself, but really, can you truly? Fast forward another month or so. I have a small business and was working one very busy day. My husband called me and said, "If you had to get bad news, would you rather I told you at work or waited until you got home?" I was instantly furious and heartbroken at the same time. I told him, "Well, I guess you chose to tell me at work." Why in the hell would he tell me at work? He then went into the few details he knew. Peter had passed that morning. At that point, it didn't matter if I had a shop full of customers or not. I cried until I locked up for the day. So much for preparing myself. I started the drive home, and my eyes were so swollen I could barely see. I was still sobbing, and people in other cars were staring at me. Then I remembered we were having our grandkids over for the weekend, and I knew I had to try and snap out of it. I thought maybe listening to the radio would help me get my head in a better place, so I turned it on. It was Elvis, specifically the song Little Sister. Coincidence? I think not. It was my big brother just letting me know he's okay.
What Lives Beyond the Dirt Roads by Anonymous. Back in the early 1990s, I was a kid, around 13 at the time of this incident, and I used to stay at my grandparents' house a lot, out in a rural area of southeast Arkansas. When I say very rural, I mean it was a series of networked dirt roads to get out of their house. The closest neighbors, besides my aunt and uncle who lived about a quarter of a mile up the road, were over a mile and a half away. This was very backwoods and isolated from most civilization, The closest town was a 10-mile trip. It's in the middle of farmland and mostly woods. They lived in this house since my mother was a child, and both had grown up just a ways down the road. Anyway, there was a general store, roughly 3 to 4 miles down the network of dirt roads. This was your typical country general store, run by an older woman and her husband. And its only customers really consisted of the people who lived out there in the middle of nowhere. One day, my grandmother asked me if I wanted to walk to the general store and get her some milk, eggs, and a few other miscellaneous items. I told her I would. She gave me some money, and I headed out on my way. It was fairly early in the day, and I had plenty of time to get back before dark, which I always made sure to do when I was out roaming about. Things can get mighty creepy out in the backwoods of Arkansas, after nightfall, that is. It's a darkness that most people who have lived in cities have never experienced. Me being a 13-year-old, I had poor time management skills. I stopped at the bottom of a hill next to this small wooden bridge you have to cross, messed around at the creek, catching crawdads and such, and kind of just messed around the whole way to the store. By the time I left the store, I realized it was quickly approaching dark. This was fall, and darkness set upon the land pretty early. I didn't want to be walking those lonely, secluded roads through the woods alone in the dark. So, I hurried as fast as I could, running and sprinting as much as possible. But it wasn't enough. By the time I had made it back to the bottom of the hill near the bridge, it was almost completely dark, and there was an eerie sort of glow brought about by a very bright, nearly full moon that was now rising. At the top of the hill, the road was perfectly straight and flat, with woods on the left and a large field on the right. About a half a mile up from the top of the hill is my grandparents' house, and you can see it from there. As I topped the hill, I could see the faint glow of the lights at their house, and I felt a sense of relief. I was kind of freaking out a bit, but knowing that I was so close and could see the house offered some comfort. The field on the right was somewhat illuminated by the glow of the moon, and my eyes had adjusted to the dark rather well at this point. As I was walking up the road, I heard something from the left behind me on the wooded side of the road. It sounded like leaves being rustled. I turned to look, and I saw nothing at first. But then, as my eyes began to focus, I saw something in the ditch. A black, shadowy shape slowly moving toward me. At first, I thought it was a dog, but then I realized it was much too large to be a dog. It wasn't actually walking on all four legs, either. It was kind of crawling, the way a person would. I stared for a moment, confused, trying to figure out what I was seeing. And then a jolt of fear shot through me as it dawned on me that whatever this thing was, it had been trying to sneak up on me. At that exact moment, the thing stood upright out of the ditch on two legs like a person. It had the shape of a human, long arms, long legs, and was proportioned as such. It stood roughly 7 to 8 feet in height and was completely covered in black, or maybe dark brown hair. It was hard to tell. Its face was dark, and I can't recall seeing much in the way of features due to it being night. It wasn't a bear, certainly, nor any kind of animal that I had ever seen. I immediately dropped my bag of stuff that I had been carrying, and I bolted as fast as my legs could take me toward my grandparents' house. I heard heavy breathing and a guttural growling kind of sound coming from behind me. I heard this thing's footsteps running on the gravel as it gave chase. I didn't even turn around. I was certain it would grab me at any moment. I then heard it crash off into the woods, and then it let out this earth-shattering, ungodly scream, unlike anything I had ever heard before or since. I'm positive this thing could have easily caught me if it wanted to. But for some reason, it just let me go. By the time I reached my grandparents' house, I thought my heart was going to explode with adrenaline. I flew into the house, and in an incoherent mess of hyperactive gibberish, I tried to explain to my grandparents what had just happened. My grandmother didn't really seem to believe me, but did believe something had scared me. She acted rather strange about the whole thing and tried to convince me it was just a dog or some other kind of animal. The next morning, I woke up and found my grandpa sitting outside, whittling wood underneath the shade tree in the front yard. He often did this. I went and sat down beside him on one of the old metal lawn chairs. Now, he was a rational guy, down to earth, and had grown up in and hunted that area his entire life. He knew every square inch of it, mapped into his mind. He knew every type of critter and creature that lived in the woods, what noises they made, where to find them, how to catch them. I had only been hunting with him a couple of years, but had been going out into those woods with him since a pretty young age, on walks and such. He had passed a lot of his knowledge down to me during those adventures. Well, I spoke to him about what had happened, and I told him that I knew what I saw. It wasn't my overactive imagination. I wasn't making it up. And it definitely wasn't a dog. And he knew that I wasn't just some dumb 13-year-old kid. He knew that I knew things he'd taught me. He stopped whittling, looked at me in the eyes, and said, "I know what you saw. I've seen it before, too. There are things out there in the woods that people don't really understand, and you shouldn't fool with them." I remember those words clearly to this day because they gave me affirmation, but at the time they made me realize that whatever I had seen was very real and beyond my understanding. My grandpa then went on to tell me that far back in the woods, there are some cliffs, and at the bottom of those cliffs is a cave. He told me that the cave is where this creature lived. He had once stumbled upon it a long time ago when he was hunting. He said he was standing on top of the cliff looking at it when the creature, fitting the same description, emerged, and it started screaming wildly at him and throwing rocks. He said that he took a shot at it, missed, and then the thing gave chase. But my grandpa was at the top of the cliff, so in order to get to him, this thing would have to go around a pretty good distance and then up, which he said it quickly began to do, so he hightailed it out of there in a hurry. He said that the whole way back home, he felt as if he were being watched and kept hearing twigs snap behind him. He was certain that it was following him. He made it home, and as he reached his front porch, he turned and looked back at the woods from where he had come, and he saw it peeking out at him from behind a tree. Later that night, he said he and my grandmother awoke in the early morning hours to large rocks being thrown at the house, howling noises from outside, and this thing trying to get inside the house. He said he could hear it walking around on the front porch, rattling the doorknobs and banging on windows. He said it sounded like it was muttering to itself in a low, deep, garbled voice, but it didn't sound like a language, just a bunch of gibberish. After a while, the thing went back to throwing rocks and howling. So my grandpa grabbed his shotgun and fired it out the front door a few times into the darkness in the direction of the howling. He said he heard it run back into the woods. He didn't know if he had hit it or not, and he said that was the last he had ever seen or heard from it. But over the years, an occasional farmer's cow would end up mutilated, or someone's hunting dog would go unexplainably missing. Someone would have a story about some strange creature that they had seen. He also said it had scared my grandmother beyond words, and she had absolutely refused to ever talk about it or even acknowledge that it happened. And this explains her acting so strange when I told her what happened to me. I know it's a pretty far-fetched story, but I know what I saw, and my grandpa knew what he saw, and neither of us ever felt the need to convince anyone else of it. In fact, until today, I have never spoken of it to anyone other than my grandpa, and he passed away about 10 years ago.
Two Things I Can't Explain by Melissa R. I have two stories from my life that I'd like to share. The first happened when my son was 4 years old. One afternoon, my son was coloring at the kitchen table while I was making lunch. Completely out of nowhere, he asked, "Where's the man with the suspenders?" I figured he meant someone from a cartoon or a book, so I asked him who he was talking about. He looked at me like it was obvious and said, "The nice man. He laughs funny. He says you cry too much." That honestly irritated me because it was such a strange thing to say. I asked where he saw this man. He pointed toward the hallway and went back to coloring. I asked him to explain more. "Where's the man now?" But he said he didn't know, so I just chalked it up to his imagination. Later that evening, I mentioned it to my mom. She got really quiet and asked exactly what he had said. I repeated it and she started crying. So my grandfather passed away about 6 months after my son was born, and we never really talked about him around the house because it was still painful for my mom. Apparently, my grandfather wore suspenders almost every day when he was younger, like in his 20s and 30s. Not only that, but after he was diagnosed with a terminal illness, he used to joke with my mom that she cried too much and needed to stop wasting perfectly good tears on him. I don't know why my son said that to me, though, and not my mom. The reason I think it was my grandpa is because the next day, my mom came over with pictures. She handed the stack to my son without saying anything, and he looks up at me and says, "That's the man in the suspenders." What's even crazier is that he said that when he saw the first picture, where he wasn't even wearing suspenders. After the third photo, he saw the suspenders and said, "There they are." We didn't tip him off or influence him in any way. I didn't mention it before my mom came over, and she didn't say anything before she handed him the pictures. My son is almost 8 now, and hasn't mentioned the man in the suspenders. The second thing happened earlier this year. I had an incredibly vivid dream that my younger sister was standing on the shoulder of a highway, crying. Her car was there, with one front tire completely flat. I remember waking up because the dream felt unusually real. The strange part wasn't the flat tire. It was that in my dream, my mind kept hearing the words, "Don't take the shortcut." That morning, I tried calling her to share my dream, but she didn't answer. I sent her a text, saying something like, "Just wanted to chat. Call me back." She texted me when she got to work and said she'd call me back during her lunch. I half-jokingly replied, "Kay, don't take any shortcuts in your car. I'll explain later." When she called me at lunch, she immediately asked if I knew what happened on the road she sometimes takes to work. I didn't even know what her commute looked like. I just wanted to tell her about the dream and see if maybe she had car trouble recently or was planning a trip somewhere. So this weirded me out. I was like, "No, what road?" She was curious why the traffic was so bad on the highway that morning. So when she got to work, she went on our city's Facebook page, where people usually gossip about crime and car accidents, looking for lost or rehoming pets, all of that. But instead of seeing anything about the highway, she saw a post about the road she sometimes detoured on her commute. Somebody posted a picture of the busy intersection, and there was a major accident involving 3 vehicles. The next day, we found out 4 people died. Maybe she would have been fine, but the accident happened around the time she would have been driving on that road. Even though she was on a highway instead of an intersection in my dream, I still think it was a warning. My theory is that the flat tire maybe represented her frustration with all the traffic, but the voice about not taking the shortcut was telling me that it's better for her to be inconvenienced than injured, or worse.
Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Okay, so we have some responses to some past stories here in the feedback. The author of one of our stories from episode 236, going by Chibi Vivi, but as the author, they went by V on the episode. They said, "Sorry guys, I didn't think you'd be so curious about the crystal thing. Long story short, it was cracked when this lady visited and we dismissed it. Sometime later, we found out that she was stealing from us and that she was a scammer, hence why I believe in them and was interested in getting one for my home now." Okay, so yeah, this was the story where there was the cracked crystal and we didn't really get an explanation about that. And we were kind of curious. I think it's the one that you read. And so they said the cracked crystal corresponded with, I seems like a warning that this person was a scammer and they were robbing them.
Sure enough was, yeah. I don't think we knew exactly what kind of crystal it was, but either way, that's cool. I'm glad that we actually learned more details about who this lady was. And scam artists, yep, it's always what it is. I wonder if she works in a call center now.
Yeah, I hate scam artists so much. They're literally the scum of the earth, the worst persons.
Oh, yeah. I always stay on the phone with them as long as I can because I find it entertaining. I like to lead them on and think that they're going to get some money out of me. I don't outright troll them where they can just hang up or whatever. I really make them think that they're going to get to me. And then I just see how long. I've been on the phone with them for at least an hour and then I got tapped out and couldn't deal with it anymore. But yeah, that's always fun. And plus, I see it as that's 1 hour where they're not potentially scamming somebody else.
Good point. Yeah, good point. And maybe discourage them from doing it any further. I just realized I said persons, not people. That was weird. I just have to point that out. It's going to bother me unless I say something.
Okay, that's fine. So Loretta, regarding episode 249, says, "That wasn't fog. It was exhaust fumes coming off that truck. Ha ha. Interesting." And then goes on to say, "Sounds like the truck from Jeepers Creepers. That's what I pictured anyway. Maybe the trucker was trying to get the author to pull over so he could rob and or kill them. Didn't work, thank goodness." Wow, yeah, maybe somebody actually was trying to rob and kill them. That's definitely possible. And unnerving, for sure.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it being exhaust from the truck. It had to have been a lot of exhaust. But then again, I have seen some trucks, especially older trucks, that put out a fog's worth of exhaust. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's an interesting way to look at it. I almost believe it at this point. And referencing Jeepers Creepers, I remember liking that movie when I watched it when I was younger. I think I need to revisit it. I hate the idea of watching that movie. I have to find a way to pirate it or something because I don't want that guy to get any money, the director.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we all know his story. I don't want to support him in any way, but I would like to watch the movie again. I love 2000s horror movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But like exhaust fumes, though, those are super, super dark. You know, the people like to burn coal, so I don't know. I mean, it could have still obstructed things, but if it's coming from behind the truck and it's really dark, I don't know. That'd have to be a lot of diesel fumes coming out. I can't stand people that do that on purpose. It's not even from an environmental standpoint, which, yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, in relation to that email about the fog, no, in relation to the fog story, rather, we got an email from somebody named Tim.
Yeah.
Sent over a video called Evidence That Fog Is Alive and Not Just Some Weather Phenomenon.
Oh.
It was interesting to watch. And basically, the video argues that fog contains some sort of microbial ecosystem. That's a hard word to say.
Yeah.
So there's an idea or there's an argument to be made that fog is living to some degree, not just pure H2O drifting around. So take living as you may, put some quotes around that, some air quotes, but you know, it's kind of interesting to think about. Like mushrooms are a lot more advanced biologically than we ever really thought they were.
Yeah, I agree. And just to piggyback that, this is from Anton Petrov, however you say his name,
mm-hmm.
on YouTube. I really like his channel. He just talks about science and it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So MM says, what, no headband? My grandmom, that's an interesting way to say that.
Mm.
Yeah, my grandmom had matching, me and my grandmom had matching headbands with Richard Simmons. And we did Sweatin' the Oldies workouts daily together when I was a kid / teen. I'm truly flabbergasted. You don't remember them on his head. Am I old? Senile? I don't think you're old or senile. As I said in the episode, it just kind of makes sense that you would remember that because he wore workout clothes. But yeah, you won't find a picture.
And also basketball attire back in the day when the shorts were a lot shorter, they wore headbands very often. That was like the thing, if somebody were to go to a Halloween costume party as an old school basketball player, they'd be wearing like the high top Converse, the short shorts and a headband. So I think maybe that had some influence in the whole getup and the tank top type of thing. So
yeah. When I browsed through Google Pictures and searched around on the internet to try and find any picture of him with a headband, which there isn't, I found a picture of somebody dressed up as him for Halloween and they had a headband on.
Whoa. See,
yeah, it's just in the psyche to think that he had a headband on. It kind of makes sense. But when you, like I said, when you think about his big puffy hair, it would be silly for him to wear a headband. It would make his head look weird.
So Kelly says in episode 249,
Wait,
we're on 240. I think we've been saying 249. Is that like a typo?
I think it's a typo on my part. Okay, so full disclosure, Spotify comments on our end, like on the creator end, was not working today on the computer. So I had to go on my phone to do it. No matter what browser I used, for some reason, it just wouldn't load. So I had to go on my phone to use the app to get all these comments. So I was actually typing them from looking at my phone instead of copy and pasting them. So I think I just typed 249. Sorry, everyone. We're referencing 239.
Yep.
we're not from the future.
If only that were true. But yeah, Kelly says, episode 239, regarding the Utah story and the triangle ship. In the triangle ship, I saw that in Riverton, Utah, when I was a kid with my friend. We were sleeping on the trampoline. Oh, that sounds cute and fun. Exact same description. How creepy. That is cool. That's like I didn't know Utah had its own Phoenix Lights type of thing going on. Sweet.
I guess so.
I haven't seen anything like that. But then again, I also spend way too much time indoors for a state that's known for being outdoorsy.
Yeah. Let's move on to some stories. I want to talk about Lucy's story and her weird experience, or as she says, the weirdest experience of her life. So the logical explanation here, because this is a weird story, I agree with you, Lucy, is it's genuinely scarier than the paranormal one. And I think we're all kind of thinking the same thing. It's probably the correct one. Like, yeah, a mimic entity trying to lure a teenager into a car is pretty disturbing. But the reality that it might be a human, you know, trying to get a child into their car 4 blocks from their home is even scarier. Like, I don't know, maybe it's all of the Let's Not Meet stories, I don't know, but this sounded like an abduction story to me.
It did, it really did.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to Autumn's story about Kate's haunted house. So the door slamming behind April, I really want to know for sure if the shoe was there, if it was placed there, or if it was like, you know what I mean? Like, did it just slam all of a sudden? Or was it placed by the door and then it slammed and then they later on after the fact found it in that shoe rack? But I think either way, since the fact that they were trying to recreate that slamming effect and it wasn't working, I really don't know. I think the cat part, though, is probably the most scary for me. Like, that really drove it home for me that something else could be up with the house, leading to the door slamming being an issue of its own, regardless of the shoe being there or not. That's just so terrifying. Just imagining a real cat by your head, which I've had those like phantom feelings of the cat, but not to the point where things are falling off the shelves because like it's knocking over physical objects. That is just wild. Really good story.
Yeah, I've seen like out of the corner of my eye, my dog come into the room and I look over and he's not there.
Yeah.
It wasn't him. Mm-hmm. He's asleep outside. I can't explain it.
Yep.
It reminds me of my cousin's shadow person story, which I probably told early on, where he woke up in the middle of the night. Instead of seeing a shadow person standing over him when he had sleep paralysis, he saw one crawling on the ground at the foot of his bed.
Yeah.
So scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before we check out, I have to address the Dirt Roads story by our anonymous author. And I just want to bring it up because I love a good Bigfoot story, and it's been a while since we had one that was so dead on. Very possible Bigfoot account here. Reports from Arkansas basically match everything that they talked about, you know, a height of 7 to 8 feet, dark hair. They were pursued, but then the Bigfoot disengaged and it was screaming. You know, there are a lot of reports of Bigfoot throwing rocks and muttering, if you remember, like the Sierra sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. This story has everything. So, and this might be the single most like accurate Bigfoot account that we've had when held up against all the reports from that area.
And what's so strange is how there's Bigfoot sightings reported in different areas of America and maybe even outside of America, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So like that's the weird thing is like, are these things breeding like all across the world and we're still not finding anything substantial to show about them? I'm not the biggest Bigfoot expert, but still it's interesting.
I would say evidence probably shows that there's no Bigfoot when you look at it skeptically. But for on the fun side of things, I like to entertain the idea of him being interdimensional and he's just crossing between different countries and different places. He's just phasing in and out of reality. Yeah. It's stupid. I don't think that's the case. And I don't think that Bigfoot is real.
Aww.
But I love the stories because I like to think about it possibly being real.
The jiggling of the doorknobs. That's a new one.
Do we have any good Bigfoot horror movies? Do those exist? I know we have plenty of haunting movies, plenty of alien movies.
Henry and the Hendersons.
Do we have any? Yeah, that's all I can think about. The Bigfoot from a Goofy movie.
Yeah, that is strange how we can't think of a single Bigfoot movie.
Mm-hmm.
So before we sign off here, got to acknowledge Shop Girl 2026's story. I really don't think this was some sort of coincidence. And to turn on the radio looking for comfort to distract herself and just get herself into a better place. For it to be Little Sister by Elvis of all songs, that's just too specific for me. Whether or not it was her brother, at the very least, I think the universe was doing its thing here.
Yeah, and me being a skeptic, even my opinion is going to be, I don't want to step on your truth. If this is what you believe happened and you feel in your bones that it was him speaking to you, I believe
you. Yep, there you go.
Listen, if you guys got any stories, make sure you send them in to stories@oddtrails.com. And if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate, it's the best way to listen to the show and support us. Go to patreon.com/oddtrails and check out the new episodes of my other podcast, Let's Not Meet, and the Old Time Radio Cast. See you guys next week. Stay safe.
Peace out.
This is Lele Pons from Suite 305 with Lele Pons. Game day at my house, it's chaos, but like in a fun way. The TV's ready, the remotes are ready, the kids' stores are going off, and somehow everybody needs batteries at the exact same time. That's why I keep Duracell stocked. And Duracell just released limited edition Duracell and Messi battery packs. The design is inspired by Messi's iconic left leg tattoo. So every battery feels like it comes with an extra kick. From the TV remote to automatic corkscrew, Duracell keeps us game day ready. Duracell double and triple A batteries are the only ones built different with power boost ingredients for long-lasting performance you can trust. Find the limited edition Duracell and Messi batteries in stores at Lowe's and Walmart. Or on Amazon.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Price is higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.